This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, as you know, the NCAA tournament is underway right now, at least on my television set. I'm watching a little bit of Murray State and Colorado State. But now let's talk a little NCAA tournament with our good friend who's down in Columbus, Joe Rexroad. Joe, how you doing, my man?
Good. I'm actually 21 miles outside the city limits. I'm kind of upset that I'm, not seeing this game today so far. But I guess 24-23 at the half, maybe I shouldn't be too upset, huh?
No.
Is it that ugly?
Yeah, it is.
It is okay.
Yeah, it may pick up.
It'll get better.
Yeah, I think so too. The Murray State's, they're one of those teams that got a pretty good seed, and they finished the season pretty strong until they got that loss. But I got them winning this game, so we'll see. I know you probably got a few upsets in the first round. So who do you see as getting upset in this first round? What team do you see might get upset in this first round?
And by the way, Murray State here, if they win three games, they could be in that regional final in Michigan State's region. But I had my thing in the paper today. I did pick two big ones. I got Duke going down, and I got Georgetown going down. So
okay.
Those are my two. But my bracket's kind of risky early, and then it just gets like the same old stuff at the end. I mean, I went with Carolina over Kentucky. I just have a feeling this year that it's going to be returned to the high seeds, getting to the Final Four, and power teams playing in New Orleans. But if it doesn't turn out that way, we shouldn't be that shocked, because
no.
More and more lately we're seeing Butlers and VCUs and Masons and teams like that squeaking through.
That's true. Well, I got those same two in the finals as well, except I have Kentucky taking out North Carolina. So that'll be fun if those two teams meet, two of the big boys. And yeah, it's hard to get rid of all of them. But, yeah, the tournament is such fun now. It's more fun, I think, this year and these last few years with these, the mid-majors coming up. And now we saw more mid-majors got into the tournament this year. So I guess the NCAA committee is reflecting on the strength or the relative strength that the mid-majors are bringing to the tournament.
Yeah, I think it's a better year this year, I think, for them, for sure. So who are your other two in the Final Four then?
I picked Florida State. Florida State was one, and the other number one seed. So I got three number one seeds.
MSU, Kentucky, Carolina.
Yep.
And Florida State. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's a little different. That's good.
Yeah, so we'll see. It should be a lot of fun. Well, what are you looking at in this first game against LIU? As we know, a 16 seed has never beat a number one seed. I don't think it'll happen this year, but eventually, sooner or later, it's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, and LIU is the kind of team, a lot of guys who can shoot the three, quickness, the possibility of, getting really hot and really pressuring a team like Michigan State and pushing the pace. It's the type of team that could make for an interesting game. Obviously the huge disadvantage for LIU is around the basket. I mean, their two main interior players are 6'7" guys, and they're really not interior players. So it's going to be interesting to see how these teams match up. At this point, Julian Boyd is kind of like Draymond Green. He's a similar player, 6'7", 230, kind of the same kind of thing. He's a skilled guy, but he bangs inside. But the thing is, if Michigan State goes with his normal lineup, I think Green's going to have to guard their other forward, who's 6'7", 215, and also a very good player. And then I think the bigs would have to deal with Boyd. So I have a feeling at times in this game, you may see Green at the five and Thornton at the four. I think they're going to have to do some of that. I know they'd love to make LIU have to adjust to them, and you got a pain in there, and who's going to check in? Who's going to guard Knicks? I mean, they can't guard those guys. But at the same time, those guys have got to run the floor and try to keep up with essentially perimeter players, to keep themselves on the floor. So it's going to be interesting. I think Michigan State's going to try to go with his normal playing group, but you know, a lot of times in such a mismatch like this, usually, you know, small will make big adjust to it rather than the other way around.
Yeah, I know, like you wrote in your column today, is it's awful hard for a team that runs this relentless style, this constant flow pace, and trying to outrun Michigan State. That hasn't been a formula for success for teams that try to think they can outrun Michigan State, because as we know, State can run with anyone. And so that always makes it a little difficult on a team like LIU, doesn't it?
It does, but this Michigan State team, I think, is, you know, it's a little less of a running team, especially with Dawson out. I mean, you know, they ran really well in Indy, you know, Appling especially, just pushing pace, and Brandon Wood did a better job of running his lane and getting himself some open shots out of it. But, you know, this is not the classic, some of the teams we've seen in the past where you've got, you know, Davis, Ager, Brown, and then Neitzel pushing it to them, and you know, even Lucas Summers and, you know, Allen, Lucius. I mean, you know, of course, going back to Cleves with Bell on one side and Peterson on the other and Hudson running down the middle. I mean, he's had better running teams. And I think this team was perfectly versatile and able to deal with any style with Dawson. Without him, you know, I think Kearney is going to play more. If Trice can get better with that ankle, that's huge. And I think you'll see a lot of Trice Appling together. But it's still not your classic. You know, I mean, on the wings, you got Wood on one side and Thornton on the other. That's not Ager Brown, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see what they decide to do. I don't think they're going to totally invite this up-and-down game. I think they, and even when they ran, they still would try to get back in transition. It wasn't like, you know, Loyola Marymount where they're like, hey, let's just play 120 to 110 and we'll outscore you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, though. I think Michigan State will take advantage of his opportunities to run, but I also think there's going to be a big emphasis on, you know, obviously getting back in transition.
Yes, that would be very important for the Spartans. Now, when I looked ahead to the second game, I know St. Louis and Memphis will be a good one, but it's funny, I'm a little bit more scared of Memphis in that second round game as opposed to St. Louis, or should I be afraid of both of them?
Well, yeah, I think both of them are pretty good. And, you know, you're going to see if Michigan State, assuming Michigan State gets past LIU, you're going to see a competitive game Sunday. You know, St. Louis is, you know, Rick Majerus. Listen, I haven't seen a lot of St. Louis. I saw them play Creighton. You know, they're a solid team. It's just your typical Missouri Valley. They're going to defend you. They're going to be solid. They're going to, you know, they're going to get, they're going to be efficient on offense, get shots. They're not going to play fast. So, you know, Memphis, a little bit more of an athletic team. I mean, Barton is a very, you know, he's a pro, I think. The thing about Memphis is when I've seen them this year, I really think they're an undisciplined team. You know, I know they've played better lately, so maybe that's changed. But a couple times I saw them this year, I thought they really did a lot of sloppy things out there. So I don't know. I picked St. Louis to beat them. And I know a lot of people are talking about Memphis is way underseeded at 8, but, you know, we'll see. It's going to be a, you know, better coach team versus more talent. We're going to see who wins that game. But I think either one of them could give Michigan State a game for sure.
Yeah, that should be a heck of a ball game. Hey, give us a call. Talk Sports with us at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. And then, Joe, when I look at these overall ratings and I think Michigan State, they look like they can go pretty far. I mean, I'm thinking they'll get to the Final Four, but who knows? As you know, so much luck is in these games, and a lot of these teams, as Coach Izzo said, the matchups are what tell from team to team. And depending on some of these matchups, there could be some big upsets this tournament.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, obviously parity is – I mean, you would not have seen some of the teams that have made the Final Four in the last few years. I don't think you would have seen that 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen – I think, you know, I think basketball in general, there are just more good players out there.
Yes.
You know, youth programs, AAU basketball. I mean, there are a lot of good players. You know, a guy like Austin Thornton who's starting for a one seed – you know, I mean, he had scholarship offers from actually St. Louis, among other. I think actually that was one of the teams he considered. But, you know, IPFW, Dane Fife. There are a lot of good players out there. And so So, yeah, I do think we're going to see upsets. I don't know why. I just have a feeling that the high seed, some years, you know, there may be 10, 15 teams in a pool. I do think that there's a cutoff line maybe after Kentucky, Carolina at this point, and then everyone else. Although Carolina didn't play well in the ACC tournament, I still think their talent is that good. And then, you know, another cutoff line after the next maybe 8, 10 or something like that. And then, you know, I feel like there's a smaller pool of teams that are legit Final Four contenders. But, you know, the minute I say that, watch VCU go back again or something.
Yeah,
<you know? laughs>
yeah. Because none of us thought that Butler would make it back back-to-back years. So
exactly.
it could happen. That's for
exactly.
sure. Hey, you know, at the beginning of the year, just about everyone here that follows and covers Michigan State, you know, during the season, none of us hardly gave Draymond Green a good chance of making it at the next level. Now it looks like he might make it at the next level. I mean, he might get drafted. People are already projecting him to be a low-round draft pick, but his skills seems to are permeating to the next level. Do you think he's got a very good chance of making it at the next level?
I think he's got a good chance. It's still hard to totally project that for me. And you know, the knock on him is again, is going to be who's he guarding, who can he guard?
Mm-hmm.
And I get that for sure because I think he struggles to guard true threes. But I've been saying for a while, I mean, the thing about Draymond is, you know, he's only 6'6", but he is a very good post defender. So
yes, he is.
You know, I think he can guard a 6'9" power forward. Can the guy shoot over him? Yeah. But I think Draymond can also deny position and wall him off and not let him drive to the basket. That's where I think he's very good against, you know, post players. As far as everything else, I mean, he's just improved his entire game so much. I think he's really given himself a shot here. He's more explosive. He's quicker. He's lost that weight. Every year he's lost a little bit of weight, toned up his body, and yeah, he does some things out there this year. Now, he'll say he could do it all on, but I don't buy that at all. He had a dunk, you know, he had the seal and dunk on Watford and won at Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about that, and he's like, well, I could do that. Like, no, you could not do that before this year. I mean, there's some things he does athletically that he's just, you know, he's made himself a better athlete. And then everything else, the skills, the, you know, the three-point shot, that trailing three-pointer hits now, he's a better shooter. He's worked on his post moves. He got that nice fadeaway. And he still has, of course, you know, the great feel for the game, the passing. And in all this, you know, working on his offense and working on his skill and losing weight, he has not lost any of his, you know, rugged abilities on the board. So, and you add in all the intangibles, I have a feeling we're going to see him in the NBA. How much is he going to play? How key of a player will he be? I don't know. It's hard to say. I think if he found the right team and got into a good rotation, I think he could be a heck of a bench player in the NBA. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see on that. But I do think he's going to get picked somewhere in that draft.
And that'll be good because, yeah, I'm like you. I'm thinking now that he could make it because before, all the times before, it was always said that for a guy to make it in the NBA, he had to be very good, exceptional in one area, whether it's rebounding, scoring, or getting assists. And very rarely do we see guys that do everything pretty good or okay, make it to the next level. But they're certainly giving Draymond a good shot at making it the next level because he can do everything so well.
Well, yeah, he does a lot of things pretty well. I would say that if he does have an exceptional skill, it is rebounding. He's got an ability to out-rebound bigger, more athletic guys. He has, you know, he's just one of those guys who just knows when the ball is coming off. He's just got that sort of instinct, and he's tough. I mean, around the glass, just those hands are catcher's mitts, and how many people, you know, get through him to get a rebound. So I'd say that is an exceptional part of his game, and then there are a lot of other very good parts.
Okay. Hey, Joe, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. So bring home the Spartans a victory by Sunday. Bring them back 2 victories, buddy.
All right, Earl.
Okay.
I'll do my best, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Talk to you later. Okay. Bye-bye. And that's Joe Rexroth from the Lansing State Journal with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Amid the crisis in Syria and growing tension with Iran, former Middle East advisor Robert Malley says there's almost no chance of progress in Israeli-Palestinian talks, but he argues negotiations may not be the only only solution. I'm Neil Conan, Mideast peace, even without a deal. Plus, veteran diplomat Dennis Ross on the U.S., Israel, and Iran. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Pohl. Today's high 71. It'll be mostly cloudy, and there's a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy tonight with a chance of rain and thunderstorms, and areas of fog tonight and tomorrow morning. The low 55. Friday, partly sunny with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. The high tomorrow, 70.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527. Toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, we need you to spread the word around. Tell your friends, your neighbors, tell everyone you know. You can enjoy sports every single afternoon right here on AM 870. You can call us up and talk with us. You can listen to some of our guests. We'll always try to bring you a lot of different forms of information, but give us a call and talk with us right now. Share what you think, what's going on in the world. If you want, you can call us up. Give us your NC2A tournament picks. You can do that as well. So give us a call. My picks are on our WKAR Facebook page, so you can go there and see my picks, and you can pick against them, or just pick them apart. I've had a couple of people call and say, "Hey, Earl, we don't think you got the good picks there," so they're going to give me some different ones. But anyway, let's continue our program, and we're going to talk with our friend Roger Groves, who writes for Forbes magazine. And Roger, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing? Hey. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. You're coming on good. We wanted to talk to you. You wrote that blog about Draymond Green, and of course he's a 4-year player. And it looks like Draymond. I was just talking with Joe Rexroad. I think Draymond's got a good shot at the next level. At the first of the year, neither one of us would have said that, but it certainly looks like he's become good enough to play at the next level.
That's a wonderful thing, and of course the real purpose of the blog that I wrote was just to make sure that when we have good news, we should tell it. We hear so many bad news stories about maybe someone that left too early and things didn't work out well. But I don't think we have enough stories about how we've seen as fans someone mature while they were in school. And I think the more we publicize those good stories, and of course part of what I wanted to make sure just during the 4-year time was that we not only noticed the point production increase and those kind of things, where he's even this year averaging over 16 scoring and over 10 rebounds, and those are nice statistics. But I've got to think that someone should look beyond that and say, how is he matured in the emotional level, and how he admitted that when he first came as a freshman, he had some good training coming in, and he thought that he knew strategically how he wanted to play. And he admitted even recently that over the years this coach has helped him mature in that way, how his game had matured. And his humility actually got more enhanced. And those are the kind of good stories that I think should be told. So that's what I wanted to make sure that so that he and other people could tell that story, so that most players ought to be able to think about those benefits, some of them intangible, but think about those benefits, even if they don't end up a pros. And I thought that was important to do.
Yes, because he's one of those guys. He's learned so much in his 4 years, and we talked about that during the season. He's talked about how much he's matured, how much he's learned, how much he's come to understand and appreciate his education. I mean, he said he really didn't place that much value on education during his first couple of years. But as he grew and he grew more and learned more, he became much more appreciative of his education. And that's one thing, Roger, I know you and I have talked about that before. It's just a shame that more kids don't appreciate the value of an education. It can help them so much later on in life. But, you know, a lot of them don't come to it until it's late in life or later on in life. Do they really understand what they've had and what they can have?
And I thought it was important, too, to think about how, and I did make this point now, but, you know, there are prodigies in the sport, just like there are I think I mentioned, the Beethoven-style child prodigies that are PMs. Mm-hmm. And I've known some that have left college after a year or two. In fact, I remember when I was at Michigan State and I was in the music program, and we had a jazz band, and I was number one jazz pianist, and we were trying to get Earl Clue, a jazz guitarist now of international renown for some years now. We were trying to get him to Michigan State. And he said, I've already got my career started in what I really want to do. And he didn't need the college for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that fits for a very small percentage of the total. So I think I've entitled that blog as one that this fits what most of the players have to deal with. And the Draymond example is something that fits most players. And I don't think we can hammer that enough. The other thing that I thought was important, too, was is to think about the leadership that he was able to earn from his peers.
Yes.
And again, that's not something that we can quantify right now, but it might translate into a position where in whatever kind of career he has, that kind of charisma and that kind of circumstance where he's seen the hard work and the judgment calls and the influence with people help him in whatever kind of job he has. And I know we don't have a statistic in sports for how one's leadership is enhanced when they've got the chance. And I said that, and I thought about not saying this at first, but I thought it was important to say that there were challenges with regards to leadership because there was a lot of publicity associated with him, even at the time that Kalen and that Darrell were there, where the leadership tag was on him. And I said he must have had an uncomfortable position to, on the one hand, have a lot of publicity about being a leader, and the people that he looked up to, who had already been at two Final Fours that got there before him, were already on the team. And that had to be a challenge for him then. And I think even with this year, he still had to earn that amongst his peers. And, I mean, we've all had peers at whatever level we've been at, and they are influential with us. As adolescents and as adults. And I think that's something that, again, hard to quantify now, but that's something that if he had left too early, mm-hmm. he wouldn't have had a chance to develop.
Yes.
So I think those are things that we just need to publicize, those kinds of things.
Yes, and somehow if we can reach some of these young men out there who leave early before they're ever ready to leave, because so many of them, as you know, so many of them think they can make it at the next level. And I know we don't want to squash on people's dreams, but the reality is most of them aren't going to make it. There's only a few out there that can make it that we know of. But unfortunately, so many of them think that I can make it. I know doesn't matter what the scouts say or what somebody else says, I can make it at the next level and I really don't need school. That's something that we'll always probably be fighting, won't we?
Oh, yes. And I'm sure that it doesn't start, of course, at college. I think the most insightful analysis would be that the influence doesn't start with a college coach, so it can't be all a college coach's fault or a university's fault, because the beginning of influence doesn't start with a college coach. You know, I think AAU coaches, and we've had meetings with a group of some of the AAU coaches, and I have a foundation that has that kind of a communication line that started with AAU coaches because they have influence early on. And like in most things, a lot of any child's development occurs before college and their view of the world. And so I think it's important for us to get that infused at that stage. And so there are some positive stories to tell, and I think I still really have quite a bit of hope that there is a new age athlete that will be coming, even from people that have economically distressed backgrounds. It's trickling down to get them thinking about owning businesses. And it's not just the Magic Johnsons and the LeBron James, but those stories have been told. So I think there's a future of a more sophisticated thinking athlete, no matter what their backgrounds are. So I'm optimistic about that.
Well, I certainly hope so. It would be nice to see more young men staying in school, getting that degree, and then maybe pursuing the goals of playing pro basketball, whether it's overseas or in the States. Enough of them don't. So many of them believe that they're going to make it, and so many people, unfortunately, like you mentioned, so many hangers-oners, their so-called friends tell them that you know, make the money now. You know, you can always go to school. You can get the money later on. And most of the time, when we look back at it now, we can say it looks like that you probably go to school now. Get it done while you're still in that mode. I mean, I've known guys that have come back here, Roger, who've been out of school for 12, 13 years, and they come back and get their degrees. And I always commend them of it. But, you know, you wonder what could have happened if they had got their degree while they were in school.
That's right. And I guess the important part about timing is not only that beginning influence level, but if they are doing well, even in college, which are kind of, I mean, there's political goodwill that and political capital that Draymond has now. And let's say he makes it at the next level, it's still a short time frame. The average NBA player and the average NFL player doesn't play more than 4 years. In fact, statistically, a little bit less than that. But that's when their goodwill is at the greatest. And that's when they ought to take advantage of that to make sure that they give them the kind of business ventures. And it helps them a lot if they've had the training. And I think, I mean, I'm biased because we are in the educational arena, but I think there are parts of the education you get at the college level that helps you compartmentalize things, that helps you organize things, and analytical thinking that will help you while you still have the goodwill. Because they'll be on to some other new star, and you'll be somebody that used to play. And then you don't have the goodwill to translate into the business or the next opportunity. So I think timing-wise, it was good to have this for Draymond be that 4 years of maturation. And so I really would like him to be that exhibit A to that. And I know some other coaches have picked up on the article and sent it around to their players. And I'd love to see have somebody like Draymond talk to some of the players, which would be more important than me talking to other players. But somebody should pay him to do that, even though he probably would do it free. But that's, again, a way that he ought to legitimately capitalize on these 4 years and turn that intangible I just talked about into something tangible that he can to utilize. So that's what my hope was. And I don't think we can do too much in publicizing that part. And I think, by the way, it's good for us as Spartans as well. I think it's good for the current, you know, for Izzo and the whole program and the university to show that good things can happen when people stay.
Yes, it's certainly a plus, not just for the school. Like you say, for both parties, it's very impactful. So, yeah, let's hope that some of these guys out there will stay and understand and appreciate how much this degree can help them. Because especially, you know, if they don't make it, they'll know they have something that they can fall back on, and that will be very instrumental for the rest of their life.
Maybe we can also, though, convince Draymond to talk to, I mean, let's say we win the game tomorrow, and let's say we have to talk to the next team along the way. Maybe we've got to convince those guys to leave school until after the game is over.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
I'm a little concerned about the second round game, or the second game they would have to play.
Yeah, that could be a biggie. That could be. I'm more worried about Memphis. I mean, St. Louis could be a tough game too. But yeah, that second round game, either one team could give State a tough go around. I mean, I've got them getting to the Final Four, but if they lose, they might lose that game too. I think they'll win game one, but game two certainly could be a challenge.
Yeah, Oh yeah, but I love the talking about capital and respect. You know, of course, as you know, I don't live in the area, but I'm telling you, whether it's Florida and or whether it's out in the Pacific Northwest, the kind of national reputation that Izzo has in the program is right up in the very, very rare air, and there's only a few like that. And I had a chance to talk with some of the, you know, with the Michael Wilbons and some of the people that are on the air a lot, and the respect level is special. So that's a good thing, and this doesn't hurt at all to have that longevity among players.
Nice.
So I just appreciate that, being the fan in that regard.
Yeah. Now, when you talk to kids and things around, are you starting to get a sense that maybe kids are valuing education a lot more?
I think that at the stage of some of the AAU players, they are appreciating what education can get them as options. I'm not sure that they see the intrinsic value as much. At that point, in many cases, they haven't seen the results of that analytical thinking being something that they have tangibly experienced. But they're saying, yeah, I've seen that people that have gotten degrees, and I have some statistics about that the players, and this was the NFL, for example, that those who graduated from college in the NFL, they were actually making more money and staying longer in the league than those who didn't. And we've got similar stats at the NBA level, although now we've got a reshuffle for the influx of youth. But those are the kind of things that they're saying, yeah, the increased options are good, and the businesses I might get into afterwards is what I think their focus is for some of the youth. But if we can help them connect the dots so that before they get to those businesses, that they have to actually go through the school process first, then I think they'll get to the intrinsic value of the education. But so I'm seeing at least that much, where school is part of the formula. And I think that's encouraging. And more importantly, I'm getting it from some of those people who are influencers. That's what's good.
Yes, and that's what one thing I've wondered about. Can we somehow influence these kids to think more highly about education? I mean, the one thing I noticed just from my own life, I always liked going to school, but kids today don't seem like they really like going to school. Sometimes I look back and say, I must have been crazy, but I always liked school. But the kids today don't seem to always have that appreciation or even like going to school.
Yeah, it's not cool. But it's good, you know, to double back on the Draymond Green part. It's not fashionable to say you love your coach.
Mm-hmm.
Not even culturally aligned. And to love the school and always wanting to go to that school, to demonstrate that loyalty for something beyond oneself, that's the kind of message that's helpful, because that helps other players, who, again, if we're talking about the young ones, to bridge that gap where it's not just the knee ism in them, and to do something that's bigger than them. That to me is helpful. Then it's not just school, and it's not just because it's my route. It's something of a bigger experience. And so I think his story is a good one for people like him, and there'll be others. And I think that's entirely possible, and I do see it coming with some of the young players more than they had before.
Okay.
And so the Nikes, mm-hmm, of the world are part of that same important ingredient. Mm-hmm. If they can afford and take the time to identify the players, they've got the resources to also have. They've all got the charitable foundation. They can have people that be willing to help them with the tutoring by people that these players respect. They don't have to be retired people that they've never heard of. They would be people that have been someone that has been part of the process of the sport and that they respect. So And that's starting to happen more.
Okay.
So I'm happy about that part. It's just, I mean, obviously there's a long way to go, but I have hope in that area.
Okay. Hey, Roger, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And, you know, we'll have you back on again sometime to talk a little bit more sports with us.
I appreciate it, Earl, as always. I appreciate you as well and your longevity there. You're talking about longevity.
No, we don't have to talk about longevity.
All right, man.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Roger. Yeah. Hey, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. Okay. And that's Roger Groves, who writes for Forbes magazine. You can talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
2011 was just another tough year for many, but things are looking up in some sectors: technology, manufacturing, and agriculture.
Price has been real good. Crops ain't been bad either.
I'm Neil Conan. Pockets of strength in the economy, plus a new documentary on grief and reconstruction after Japan's earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear meltdown. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The forecast is calling for a mostly cloudy day with a chance of rain and thunderstorms and a high of 71. The low tonight, 55, staying mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Areas of fog overnight and tomorrow morning. Partly sunny Friday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 70. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, right now, let's chat a little bit about the Detroit Lions. Let's bring in our good friend, Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press. Dave, how you doing, my man? I just accidentally shut him off there, so my fault there. I hit the wrong button. So we'll get Dave right back on the line. As you know, as everyone knows now, Calvin Johnson is the highest paid, not just receiver, but the highest paid player in the NFL. So that's Calvin, and congratulations to him and the Detroit Lions, making Calvin Johnson the highest-paid player in the NFL. It's a little bit of a surprise, not too much, because he had the power. Well, let's bring Dave back in now. Dave, I better make sure I hit the right buttons for you. But it's always good talking with you, my friend, and glad that you're doing well. In the Lions, they were able to make Calvin Johnson the highest paid player in the league. What does that say about Calvin and how good he is that he was able to command all that money? And then, of course, you know, he's in the driver's seat, wasn't he? Hello? Okay.
Earl.
Yeah, there you are.
You got me now?
Yep.
Fantastic. First hanging up on me, Earl, and then forget to punch me in. I thought we were buddies, you know?
Yeah, my fumble. Every now and then I fumble.
No, but to answer your question about Calvin, look, I mean, he did have tons of leverage. I mean, he was coming into the year with a huge cap figure, $21.1 million, which is, you know, it's untenable for most teams. You know, the Lions had ways that they could have worked around it, but everybody knew this deal was going to get done. Both sides wanted it to get done, and the fact that they got it done when they did created about $9 million in cap space, so the Lions have a little bit more spending room in free agency. So, you know, I think it was important not only for that reason, but also to obviously keep Calvin around through the prime of his career and show guys on the team, show the rest of the league that the Lions are willing to spend money to keep some premium talent.
Yes. Now, could he end up going through this in a couple of years? Because, you know, because they got nine now, but they're going to have more people coming up for contracts and such. And it seems like this is becoming a way of life in the NFL. They're always asking somebody to rearrange their contract. I know if they do that, they get more cash money up front if they want to lower their cap space. But could we see Calvin Johnson doing the same thing in maybe two or three more years?
You know, I don't think we'll see it that early. I mean, that is, you're right. This is how it happens in the NFL. You know, it's just a fact of life. When you have good players who command big money contracts like this, they take up a large part of your salary cap. And in order to keep those guys around, you got to pay them a lot, and you got to allocate a lot of cap space to them. And I mean, I think from the Lions standpoint, You know, they're not trying to create holes right now. They want to keep as many good players around as they can. And you're right, they're going to have to give Matt Stafford and Ndamukong Suh big deals before too long. But, you know, I think a cap purge, if something like that is going to happen, is still a few years down the road. The talent is young enough and good enough that they want to keep all those guys around.
That's good, and hopefully they can continue to progress as they've been. And you know, that's what all the Lions fans they're in love, as you know, with this team and enjoying how this team is doing. They're progressing quite well. So if the guys can continue producing, you know, the better you get, that means the more money you'll command. And so the next few years, we're going to have a lot of guys probably commanding a lot more money because they're going to think that they're worth maybe even more so than what they are.
It's a good problem to have. I mean, if you got good players, you need to pay them and you need to keep them. I mean, I think nobody needs a reminder, at least, of what it was like a few years ago when you were trying to find, you know, turn over rocks for good players because you didn't have enough of them on your team. So the fact now that the Lions are, you know, looking for ways to keep all these guys and keep this core intact, I think it's a good problem to have.
You know, Dave, sometimes I think this whole thing is being made up or is a thing with the owners, the way that they can keep holding salaries down as opposed to expanding the salary cap, making it even larger. They keep it at a certain level. So therefore, you're always going to be faced from a set situation where you're going to have to, cut a few players or get something done. But, you know, it's not – I would like to see them expand the salary cap maybe by $20, $30 million a year, but we don't really see that doing that much, do we? And maybe under the new salary arrangement, under the new bargaining chip, you know, do you see them maybe expanding the salary cap a lot more, or do you think it'll stay basically where it is?
Well, it's going to go up in a couple of years when the new TV deals kick in. I don't know. I haven't seen any projections on how much, so I wouldn't know how much it's going to go up. I know this year it obviously stayed relatively flat, and I think that's why you're seeing the free agent market maybe a little bit of a slow go of it so far, especially when it comes to guys like Steven Tulloch and some of those other middle linebackers that could be of interest to the Lions.
Yep. Well, let's talk about the real stuff now. We'll go back to the Lions, but how's your final four picks?
Earl, you know what? I've been so engrossed in free agency so far that you know, my basketball knowledge, my basketball viewing habits have dropped off a cliff. I mean, I filled out a couple brackets like everybody. I think I got Kentucky winning it in my bracket, but just because they're a favorite. But you know, to go beyond that, Earl, I don't have much to tell you. I do have Michigan State going to the Final Four too, though.
Yeah, well, we're on the same page. I got Michigan State getting to the Final Four myself, and I picked Kentucky to win the whole thing as well. So hopefully, we're both right.
either smart guys, we're smart guys, and we know what we're talking about, or we're both fools. So
yeah, or we're lucky.
Right. Hey, I copied off your bracket, so I'm blaming you if everything blows up here.
Okay. Hey, when we look at, I just heard, or I actually just read here that Mario Williams is going to Buffalo. Good signing for Mario and good signing for Buffalo, isn't it?
It's huge for Buffalo. I mean, you know, that's a place that doesn't always attract a lot of free agents. Yeah. And, you know, I think they're the team that's had the longest playoff drought in the NFL right now. You know, they were tied with the Lions, if I'm not mistaken, before this past season. So, yeah. You know, it's good. They're going to have a real good defense. They still got to do a few things, give Ryan Fitzpatrick some more weapons out there. But that defensive line is going to be scary, and I think in the NFL right now, that's how it starts. You know, it's all about throwing the ball around and getting after the quarterback, and that's one thing the Bills should be able to do.
Yes, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I thought was really a good quarterback, he started off the year good. I don't know if he fooled the line. I mean, the Bills or not, but he tailed off near the end of the year. But if he is the quarterback they think he is, he should be able to come back and have a solid season and help them. Maybe the Bills even get to the playoffs.
Well, they should have their running back too. You know, Jackson got hurt last year, and you know, I think that will round out their offense. We saw what that did to the Lions, you know, not having the threat of a running game the second half of the season. I think it was probably the same thing in Buffalo. But, you know, having said that, they're still in a pretty tough conference over there, a pretty tough division over there. New England is you know, obviously still the team to beat, and Miami, if they could get a quarterback, if Matt Flynn goes there, you know, they might not be too shabby either.
Yeah, now, what have you read more so? What is the league, you know, I know they've gotten a lot of help in producing more information on their concussions problem, but what have you read? Do you see any more changes, anything coming out about all the concussions problems they've had in the past?
you know, I don't know what else they can do. I mean, I think a lot of it falls on the player, you know, because a lot of these guys, they know what the deal is. You start getting that rep as having concussions. It's kind of like Javid Best right now, where there's lots of questions about his future and like it was coming out of college for him when there were some teams that took him off the board. So, you know, guys don't want that you know, rep. Guys want to make some money. You know, at some point you got to look at what it does to your body, and it's really, I mean, that's a tough call. I mean, the NFL is I think it's good that they're taking more measures to do that. And maybe there are some other little things that they can do. You know, they did a good thing at the end of last year with having independent doctors at games to you know, help point out some possible concussions for the on-field staff that might have missed it. But maybe they need to go a step further and have those guys have a little more power to really identify concussions.
Yes, Dave, is that basically sort of undermining the staffs that you have when you have to bring independent doctors on the sideline? Is that saying basically that, you know, that you know, the league doesn't trust team doctors to make the right calls, or to look the other way?
I think what it is it's the league's trying to protect itself from more lawsuits because, you know, they've been sued a dozen or so times so far by former players, and they just want to make sure they're doing everything that they can to limit their liability in future cases.
Okay. Well, I heard, you know, the pro day was here at Michigan State yesterday. I got a chance to go over there for a while. I wasn't able to stay too long. But I heard Mike Tomlin was here from Pittsburgh, you know, one of the better coaches in the league. And every team had a scout was here representing each team. And so some of the guys were very positive about what happened during their workouts during pro day.
Sounded like Kirk Cousins had a good day. You know, I haven't talked to anybody about how those Michigan State guys did. Been too engrossed in the Kelvin contract and everything. I'm actually down at Wayne State's pro day right now, just standing outside about to head in there. But no, I mean, look, Kirk Cousins is a guy who's helped his stock a little bit since the offseason, since the end of the bowl game. You know, I think he's a guy that you're probably looking at going in the second or third round right now. He's probably pretty solidly in there. So, you know, he's not going to be the first or second or third quarterback off the board, but he's a guy that maybe when you look at him, you say, you know what, this is a guy that we 3 years from now could be a starter in the league. And I know just from talking to him that anybody that talks to him, any team that interviews him is going to fall in love and going to want him to be part of their locker room. So, you know, there's obviously he's as clean a quarterback prospect as there is when it comes to that.
Boy, when you go to the combine and then come back and you do your pro day, that's like taking a test in college, isn't it, Dave? Because these guys are being tested, and whether they're mentally or physically, if they're able to handle the game at the next level, it really is just like going to school and taking another test, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guys like to see them up close. You know, I think that's part of it, you know, because obviously, look, the film speaks volumes. That's how guys get drafted. You know, that's the most important thing. But, you know, if you can put a quarterback through a workout yourself and you can see him move and you can, you know, you might be able to get a better feel for how he's going to do and what he's going to do for you. So I think it's important from that aspect more than anything.
Yes, and that's always good for the players, and especially for the players like at the Michigan State, all those guys that don't get invited to the combine. There's a number of players out there who are very good, who will get at least a look and see a free agent look some ways. And I know that's their dream, because there's like I guess four or five players from Michigan State that didn't even get invited to the combine. So these workouts, pro day workouts, like in your the one at Wayne State, this gives a chance for these guys who haven't been seen or looked at all, give them a chance, and maybe they'll get a shot at a free agent contract somewhere.
Right. You know, sometimes all you need is an invite in, you know, get a foot in the door, and then you got a shot. But, you know, I think we know who the top Michigan State prospects are, and that's Cousins, that's Jarrell Worthy. You know, Worthy's going to be a first or second rounder. You know, Robinson might get drafted somewhere late, those receivers. You know, we'll see. But, you know, the NFL does a pretty good job about, you know, identifying prospects. I think they invite 300 and some to the combine, and the vast majority of those guys, you know, are the top draft picks. So, though, you're right, there are, you know, 50 or so guys that don't get invited every year that do go in the draft.
And, you know, we've seen that, especially the kids like where you're going, where you're going to get see some kids who can probably play in the NFL, but because they played at the Division I AA level or Division II level, they just don't get seen by the scouts. So this is really the best chance for them, isn't it, if they perform well in the pro day there at Wayne State?
Well, you're right. That's, I think, for the small school guys, it's probably as important as anything, just to get guys out, scouts out, to really look at him. And sometimes that's how you can get a feel for who's the most interested. You know, if they're going to take the time to send somebody to a Wayne State, you know, they've got a prospect here, Jeremy Jones, who was invited to the combine at defensive back, but Dick Long's brother is an offensive lineman who's playing for Wayne State. You know, if somebody's coming out to look at those guys, you get a pretty good sense that they're interested in that guy, and at the very least would want him in camp if they don't get drafted.
Yes. Now, before we let you go, who do you think the Lions might be looking at in when the draft comes up?
Man, still a toss-up now. Still a month away. I mean, we'll see what shakes out in free agency. I think, you know, if you're looking for positions, your best bet is probably cornerback, you know, offensive line. I think those are positions that you'd have to heavily consider. But, you know, Martin Mayhew's always done a good job of taking the best available player, and I don't think that's going to change. I think if there was somebody, you know, a top 15 type talent that slid down to 23 and it was a defensive end, for instance, you know, it's not somebody that most people would slot the Lions for, but I don't think Martin would have a problem, you know, plucking him, just because that's such a premium position and that's really his MO. So, if you're looking for names, you know, Drake Kirkpatrick, Alabama, you know, Stephon Gilmore from South Carolina, those are two cornerbacks that, you know, I think they'd consider.
Okay. Hey, Dave, I'm going to let you go. Just to tell you, let you know, Murray State is up over Colorado State right now, and Kansas State is up over Southern Mississippi. So we'll try to help you keep a track here a little bit. I know when you get a chance, you'll be following the games and following college basketball, that's for sure.
Hey, I got both those guys in my bracket, at least in one of my brackets, or so I believe. You know, I think Murray State at the very least. So.
Yeah, I have them too. Hey, so we might have to get together and examine our brackets here.
I'm telling you, Earl, I was looking over your shoulder when you were filling out. You just didn't realize it.
Okay. Hey, it's always good talking to you, Dave. And, you know, we'll be talking to you. We'll definitely be talking before we get to the draft, and we'll get a good take from you on what the Lions are going to do in the draft. And I know that's a lot of that will be based on who they sign in free agency, won't it?
Yeah, well, you know, and again, I mean, I think the Lions are a team that, you know, free agency kind of fills the immediate needs, and the draft is there to kind of, you know, fill your long-term needs. I mean, you're going to take somebody that you think is going to be an 10-year starter. So I think that's the most important thing. But you're right. At some point, you got to get a middle linebacker if Steven Tulloch leaves. So maybe you look to the draft for that. So we should know a little bit more. That'll help set the draft board or help set the priorities within their draft board.
Okay. Hey, Dave, always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And I'll be talking with you again. You know that, buddy.
Sounds good, Earl. We'll do it again.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that's Dave Burkett, who writes for the Detroit Free Press and covers the NFL and does a great job covering the NFL for the Free Press. Yes, we've had a great show for you today. Talked to a lot of different guests, and we'll be back to talk more with you tomorrow. One of our guests tomorrow will be Dan Stoltz, the head coach of Okemos High, and Okemos has done a very good job. He'll be one of our guests we'll talk to tomorrow. But we want to thank you all for listening today. We've covered a lot of ground today, and we'll be talking college basketball and over the weekend, because the games and will be on full force there. And Aaron, you know, we've got a lot of games we're going to be talking about tomorrow. And how do you think the Spartans are going to do in this game coming up tomorrow against LIU?
I'm sure there's not one. Maybe there's probably one person in the world that picked Michigan State to lose. You know, it shouldn't be. I don't think it's even going to be really close. It may be at the beginning, just because, you know, the excitement, the adrenaline, that kind of thing. But then that usually, you know, kicks in. So they'll do fine. I think they'll just win and move on from there.
Okay, I agree with you. I think they're going to beat LIU. That next game, though, that could be a toughie. St. Louis, yep. Or Memphis. So we'll see that. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening today. Thank you for calling. And we invite you to come back and join us tomorrow. Hopefully you'll head over to Breslin Arena and see some high school basketball. The girls, semis are today. So get on over to Breslin today and tomorrow and see girls state high school basketball. The boys start next week, so you can go and watch some good high school basketball right here on the MSU campus. We want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. And want you to come back and join us tomorrow. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way each and every day from 1:05 to 2 o'clock on WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a safe and pleasant evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.